Radio.com.
I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word, it's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh, out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told, I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown, when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't wanna be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto. Where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow. But what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow you around. And I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground. Two hands bound to a siren sound. None of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone, a voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be, if I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before, believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow, if you will be my bow, and anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world, to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive, and with a will to strive, I began to rise. From 79, or was it 75, when reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated, to the point where I decided to chop the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise, so with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise, yeah. Wise up, no compromise, and listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
We'll be right back with The Advocate with Susan Shengazar right after this song.
Show is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. But you see, I have been down for so long, feel like all hope is gone. But as I lift my hands, I understand that I should praise you through my
Now a message from our sponsor, EducateEtiquette.com. Have you ever been at a table with a group of people and there is one person being rude on their cell phone? Have you mentioned it to that person and they still do it as if they just don't care as much for those around them in the flesh as they do for their own personal thread on Facebook? It's even worse when you're around our older generation who really have a hard time understanding how people can form relationships this way. There is wisdom in their thinking, so please don't be rude. Put it away in respect, yourself most of all. Thank you for joining us on Soul Sister Enterprise, and please visit us at www.educateetiquette.com. ForRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Maria DiGiovanni, and we have a special guest today here on Soul Sister Friday. We have jumped the gun and just decided to go ahead and stop all the we were doing this weekend just so we could have you on our show, Susie. And our special guest today is Susie Shengazar Ortiz. Yes, did I pronounce it right, Susie?
Very good.
Okay.
Bravo.
And for I just want everybody to know that I met this beautiful lady actually over a year ago. It was October, if I'm not mistaken, October of last year, 2011. It was in L.A. at the Marriott, J.W. Marriott, and for a Safe Passage event. And that was the first time that we had the opportunity to talk. And I just want our listeners to really have the opportunity to get to know who you are. And so I would like for you to just share, first of all, why you were in LA that day and why it is you think that God has us here tonight to go ahead and share about who you are and what He has for you.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, Maria, and Rebecca, and Trish Steele, and everyone that was part of Safe Passage. And for me, it was just a passion in my heart to see other people standing against domestic violence. And so meeting everyone on the same page in life was just tremendous because I had been on this journey alone for so long, and teaming up with everybody just made it come full circle.
Well, let's stop there. Let's start. Actually, let's stop and start right there. Safe Passage is a organization, and I'll let you share a little bit more because I met Trish, gosh, years and years ago. Wow, 2000, I think it was. And so we met through my mentor. She mentored my mentor. And Trish is an amazing soul. So, and I know her on such a different level than what you know her on. But domestic violence has touched most of our lives. And Trish has really changed the face of abuse, literally. So I would like for you to share with our audience exactly what Safe Passage is, first of all, what you do with Safe Passage, why you were there that evening, and then we'll take it from there.
Actually, Safe Passage is Los Angeles' number one charity fighting against domestic violence. It's a DBA of Women Crowned in Glory, founded by Trish Steele in 2000. The website is www.safepassagelives.org. And Safe Passage compassionately transforms abused women and their children to a new and better life, providing hope, opportunity, and empowerment. That's their mission statement. But most of all, Safe Passage reaches out to women who are out of the relationship and they find themselves unable to smile because maybe their teeth have been knocked out and they need to get a job because they're on welfare, they have children to raise, or whatever their story is. It's impossible for people to fathom how they could walk in to a job and smile and say, "Here I am, hire me," and not have their teeth. So Trish went about this restoration with women taking her own story of having her forehead slashed, having a doctor stitch her up and not charge her. So she paid it forward by being in Hollywood because she was a beauty queen and a makeup artist with the studios. She went about gathering those resources that would come together and help restore these women, whether it was a broken nose or their teeth or, you know, a body part that was disfigured from domestic violence. So when she was sharing her story with me, it just so hit home because years ago, 1980 to be exact, I had my jaw broke, my front teeth knocked out, my nose broke, my face disfigured, and there was nobody there like that for me. There were not programs. I was in the middle of Wyoming, a little 4,000 people town, and I just wanted to die. In fact, I wanted to commit suicide. It was by the grace of God that I was actually miraculously healed through a phone call. Someone I called came on the phone to pray for me and told me that God had told them to pray for my jaw. And that was enough that I needed to believe instantaneously for my healing. I never had the surgery. Of course, I had a dentist put my teeth in, but back then it cost me $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And my insurance, thank God, because I worked at a hospital at the time. But today I see these women and these doctors giving their time and talents to help these women, and it just was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so for me to see that, it was so empowering, and to see women teamed up helping was amazing to me. So I came on board right away, and using my talents and my background, because I was an entrepreneur, had a wedding business, had catered, had decorated, had all this talent, and so I came on board to be an event coordinator with Trish to help provide an ease financially for Safe Passage using the time and talent that I have to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also be it a nurse and had gone through the advocate training back when I was in Iowa, 1994, I became involved with a domestic violence shelter, carried a pager, and that was simultaneous to me becoming an RN in the emergency room, and also being a paramedic, being on the front line, seeing domestic abuse happening, being part of the rape exams. It just so hit home with my past and this overwhelming compassion to help. And so I became an advocate and sat on the hotlines talking to women and held their hand through it all and could actually say I knew how they felt because I had been there and had no one there. Most of the times it was a police officer, a man. There was never a woman there to give me a hug after I had been raped or tell me something nice. Instead, it was men, and they most of the times laughed or they didn't take you serious or you were so ashamed you couldn't repeat what had just happened. And so for mm-hmm. me, it was about fighting back for these women so they didn't have to be humiliated and to be like the guard, because I had built such an armor with God that I was going to be that guard for them and not let them suffer like I did.
I'm listening to you, and it's such an amazing passion that you have, and I can feel it brewing. And for our audience, so that our audience knows, Susie, I'm really glad that we're going to go ahead and move forward with your own show, because there's so many things that you have that the audience needs to hear. And these are tools because of the story that you just shared and the reasons why you made the choice to pay it forward. All this information not only is in your book, but I want you to be able to share with the audience the snippets that it's going to take for them to actually really want to go read what it is that you have to share with them. Not only that, but what I'm feeling is that you're going to make something interactive with them. And so I'm really excited about what it is that God is going to take you and where he's going to take you, because out of the ashes is coming good stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the book that you just wrote. And it's, how many books have you written now? This is your number 4, correct?
This is number 3. I'm working on 3. Number 4.
Gotcha. Okay. I know. God bless you. Okay. And this is called Journey to My Father's Home?
Palace.
I would like for you to share a little bit about that. And also, what you want the audience to know and get ready for your upcoming show, and what kind of things you think we're going to talk about on that show.
Well, I'd like to say that on the cover of my book, Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide, I give just a little lead-in that it's my memoir, a true uncut, off-the-grid story of emotional, physical, domestic, and sexual abuse. It's a survivor's story of ultimate betrayals and triumphs. I say, I don't quit, and he doesn't win. That statement, I don't quit, and he doesn't win, came from a school teacher I had when I was 17 and a half years old, pregnant with my second child. I had gotten married at age 16. I was taking night classes because back then you had to go to a teenage pregnant mother school. You were not
mm-hmm.
allowed to be pregnant and married in high school. So I rode the little orange bus, went to my classes in the daytime, and then I was taking night classes because I wanted a career. And so I was taking the medical and dental receptionist class, and it was taught by a woman named Kathleen Bowers. Kathleen was an amazing teacher, and she was so fascinating. And I came to school one night with my daughter Tamara in my arms and my belly pregnant with my son Brandon. I had a handprint on my face, a bloody lip, and a black eye. And I was crying, makeup stains on my face. And I said to my teacher, I have to quit my class. And she said, really? And I said, yes, I have to quit. I don't have a babysitter, and I can't do this anymore. And she grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me and said, Susan, if you quit, he wins. This is not about him. This is about you and the rest of your life. If you quit now, you'll quit everything. And I realized in that instant, in the passion, in the voice she had, she was reaching for me, and it was coming from God through her to keep me on track. So I, through my life, would hear her voice in my ear, because I did graduate, and I went on to be a nurse when I was 30 years old with 5 children, and I looked at my 5 children going through a divorce for the second time, and I just gave birth to number 5, and I thought, I can do this, I can do this. And everybody was saying, no, you can't. How are you going to do with all these kids? And I said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I knew God was with me. I had a great faith in God, but I knew in spite of what everybody said, I could do it. And I was very intimidated because I had been out of school for years and I had been a mom. But being a mom and that maturity, I was ahead of some of the girls in my class because I had done it already. And my mom was a nurse. Her mom was a nurse. So I knew I could take that challenge. So during that time, her voice would play in my ears. So in writing this book over a year ago, I said to God, you know, I really want to thank this woman, and I wish I knew where she was. And God said to me, Susie, find her. She's on the Internet. And I just sat there going, I'm going to. So I look online, and I look up Kathleen Bowers in Santa Cruz, California, where I grew up, and I find this name for a Lions Bank in Santa Cruz, and it had her name, and it said age 77. And so I just pick up the phone, and I call. And this woman answers, you know, Lions Bank, this is Kathleen. And I said, is this Kathleen Bowers that used to teach night school? She says, well, yes. And who are you? And I said, well, my name is Susie. I think I was one of your students. She goes, you think you are or you are? And I said, I am. And she says, I remember you. When she said that, it was like a hot flash went through my body and I started to weep and cry. And I said, how could you remember me? And she said, Susan, anyone who met you would remember you. And I thought I was nothing back then because my self-esteem was on the ground because I had been beaten so much. Mm-hmm. But really, that little girl and that vibrant person still showed to everybody else. It was me inside that was broken. And so when she told me that, she said, Susan, you were pregnant, you had a daughter. And I knew she was telling the truth, so I told her that I was writing about her in my book. And she said, please tell me you're not with that man. And I told her no, and I told her my story about my journey. And she sat and cried with me. She said that she was supposed to be in Switzerland that day, but her flight and plans changed, so she came to the office, and I happened to call. She said she needed to hear that she made a difference in someone's life. And it was a joyous moment that God gave me years ago and brought it forward today for this time. And so during the writing of my book, I got to go through and forgive each and every person that had abused me and forgive myself. And then God had me find all my childhood friends and bring them back to the Lord. And so I just saw this as an amazing journey to my Father's palace, not with just me, but with everybody who was in my life. And I have no bitterness towards the men I was married to. I actually now can pray for them that they can be healed and not hurt someone else, because it took me years to learn how to forgive. But God was patient with me, and he used all the ashes in my past to be a living testimony. And so I write about all the pain all the abuse, all of the secrets I had to keep inside that were tearing me apart as a child, but I willingly expose it, and it took a lot of guts to share details unashamedly revisited to set others free from broken love, domestic and sexual abuse, and life's ultimate betrayals, near-death experiences. I had to go through that to be who I am today so I could help remove the chains from other people that are binding them and keeping them locked down so they can't live. I had to expose every demon and every cause so that people could be free. And so in this book, I actually, at the end of it, file a lawsuit against the devil. And I speak it out, and I wrote it out. It's binding on heaven and on earth. And I now have a restraining order against the devil that he cannot touch me or my family. And I ask God for the maximum compensation ever awarded in the kingdom for the crimes committed against me, my family, 1,000 years back. And I show people how to go in and be delivered from this torment. Because every single thing that was done to me, God gave me my life back. And if the devil had known back then, he would never have had anybody touch me. Because today, I'm kicking butt.
And that is why God has us together. I'm going to play a song and just a station identification. And this was a song that was played this past Sunday from our praise and worship. So, and it's going right along with what you're talking about. So I want you to stay in that Holy Spirit high mode. And I want you to just sit back and listen to this, my beautiful friend, because holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. And I was going to take a break, but I don't think so, because we're just kind of praising and worshiping. But I wanted to ask you, my beautiful friend, Susie, what you come from an interesting background, and thus the name for this book, Journey to My Father's Palace. Can you share a little bit about your upbringing, how diverse your background is, and why you think you were brave enough to go ahead and write about all of this?
Wow. Yes, I did have an interesting background. My mother and father met in Seattle, Washington. My father was a merchant marine who traveled from Istanbul, Turkey. He docked his ship that he was on in Seattle, Washington, and my mom, being this buxom, beautiful blonde, went down to the Caballero Dance Hall, where all the women went to go dance with the sailors and meet men. And so she meets my father, and 3 days later they're married on the King County Courthouse steps in Seattle, Washington. She didn't know that her handsome, dark stranger was also a Muslim. So my mom, being a devout Catholic, married a Muslim. So I was born Muslim, but I did not want to be. And so I knew God early on as a child. I just knew God. I mean, I sang in different languages. I was just this, you know, gifted child that everybody would always say, you know, Susie's very gifted. She has, you know, all these things would come about. And I'll leave that for people to read in the book. But my journey started wanting to be a nun, and so I pursued that. I was this good little Catholic girl, and all the time I'm a good little Catholic girl, people in my life are trying to and molesting me. And so I have all this shame that's being brought on me. At the same time, I'm trying to pursue my journey with God. So I kept my little secrets inside of me. And I remember one time telling Sister Rosalie that I wanted to be a nun right now. I was 9 years old, because I didn't think I would make it. And back then, you didn't talk about your pain, or you didn't say the words molested. You didn't talk about anything. And so it wasn't something I could say, but I was hoping she would see it. I so wanted to be rescued, and she would show me pictures of Mother Teresa. We'd watch films, and I would look at Mother Teresa, and I would just be like, I want to be her. I want to be a missionary. And I had all this passion inside of my heart, and I would just dream about being a missionary, and I would see Africa, and I would see those people, and me feeding them and me speaking the words to thousands of people. And I would see myself preaching the gospel over crowds of people in the United States. And I was just seeing stuff, and so I didn't know what it was called as a seer, as I do today. And I saw myself making a movie. I saw myself and I actually did write books back then, but I just, you know, they're all torn up. I was doing that as a child, and I know it was God's way of showing me that was my future. As I look back, I see how he was preparing me for today. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote my story, a lot of people said, wow, you were really brave. And what the reviews have been, I got a review from Charles Eric Johnson. He is a screenplay writer who had an award-winning film, Blessings, and he got the Christopher Award for that film. He read all three of my books. My second book he read twice. And then he started reading this book, and he called me and said he couldn't put it down. He said it was riveting, and he just said, Susan, you are the most fascinating woman I've ever met. And I was just shocked because he's a screenplay writer and that he would say that to me. But it was honest and true and pure from his heart. And he says, I'll talk to you when I finish the book because I can't put it down. And then I've met so many women who just said it really healed their heart because I didn't leave too many details out. Of course, I didn't tell my whole story. I couldn't in one book. But I did leave a lot of details in there so that people would see what it was like to have a man abuse you.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was a teenager, I was supposed to marry a man at 16 years old that my father had actually picked out for me. And he was also Turkish and Muslim, and he was living in Istanbul, Turkey. And so my whole life I was scared to death that I would marry someone like that and like my father, because my father also abused my mom. When he would get drunk, he would hit her, and it was very scary. My father spoke Turkish, and it was very loud and deliberate, and our household was very neurotic and not quiet. So when I would go in my room, I would be there in the quiet. And so I didn't have a relationship with my earthly father that I could sit down and say, Dad, this is what's happening, because I was afraid of him. So I did have God, and I would pour my heart out to God, and I would sob and cry and tell God what's happening, and of course God saw it, but I didn't know the Bible like I did, you know, as I got older, because in the Catholic Church, they didn't show me how to have the whole armor of God on. They didn't tell me how to have the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit, and so I stumbled and fell a lot, and so in this book that I write, I put one of my favorite scriptures in the beginning, Colossians 3:12-14. And in the Message version, it says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And so the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation so puts me in a place where I can love the unlovable, because I know what it was like to feel unlovable. And so much so that as an emergency room nurse in 2010, after I wrote the book, The Anointing of Mercy, From the Heart of a Parish Nurse, I was given the award out of all the employees at Providence Holy Cross Hospital. I was given the award for compassion, and not even realizing that people were looking at me as an example, I always felt that they were laughing because they would see me praying for a patient or holding the most unlikely person, a homeless with lice and festered sores, and seeing me hug someone. I had no idea that God was going to give me that award on earth, an earthly award for doing his work. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that I was called to stand. And the things that I went through in life make me who I am today. Because if you get kicked around enough and you stand up and you ask God for that armor, he'll give it to you, and then you will become an armor bearer for the world in his stead. And so I stand today with my Heavenly Father, because I took a journey to his palace and I saw what he has waiting for me. And I don't know what everybody's report card looks like, but I had a lot of F's. And I decided, God, I want a crown with jewels in it when I come before you. I want that. And so I decided to become what he wanted me to be. And so God said to
tell the world, Susie, what I did for you. And so I tell people in my book everything that happened bad, but there's a lot of good. I went off a 300-plus foot cliff in the middle of a blizzard with my two children with me. They were 2 and 3 years old, and we go down the cliff, and God saves us. And so I share with people how it happened. I give pictures and show when it happened. And then there's bad things, like when I got my head split open and I was buried in the dirt and then unburied, taken to an emergency room, and the doctor asking my husband what happened to her, and he says she fell down the cliff. There were times like that. And so I know what it's like. So being the hand holder to a victim of domestic violence, it's my pleasure because that's what God asked me to do. Mm-hmm. And what better person to have be there than one who's gone through it? And so deciding to write my book, I decided to give the 50% of the proceeds to Safe Passage. And so this past October, and Maria, you were there with me, I dedicated the proceeds of the book to Safe Passage. And so people can actually get the book on, the link's going to be on Safe Passage shortly for the book. And then they can also go on the website, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Zulon Press. They can find it on Google and read about a story that will lead them to God, because I do not leave Scripture out. I don't believe that I would be alive without God. I'm living, breathing. I'm a miracle. I'm humble to say without God in my life, I would be nothing. And, you know, my story is not good. I had 4 broken marriages. I had 7 children. 2 of them are in heaven. Right now I have 6 grandchildren and 2 more on the way. I'm learning how to dance with God and listen to his lead, and I'm learning how to get out of my own way, because I have not perfected this journey, but I'm certainly willing to share my triumphs and trials, my ups and downs. There was a time in Iowa where I went to the prison and spoke to a Young Rivers group of men, and my talk was called What Happened to the Boy Next Door. And God was allowing me to speak to the beast, the face of the beast, the same stuff that they did. And I was able to speak to those men and share with them what it was like on my side. And they were all in tears. They all wrote me thanking me. But I led them to deliverance by having them, even if the person doesn't forgive them, that they would ask for forgiveness and learn how to forgive themselves so that they could be free. And so it was a journey that I just was in love with. And then I came back to California in 2002 and moved to Los Angeles in 2004. I remarry again because I just keep trying to get it right. And I, you know, got tricked again. But it was at the end of my book, and it sat from last November to February when I was in the book for Safe Passage. It was called A Day in My Shoes, L.A., Take 3. And I sat there watching the clip on the news. I think it was Channel 2 or Channel 12. Where they were interviewing Amy Martin Friedman, who had taken my photo and put it in the book, and she was with Trish. They were being interviewed on the news, and they had put my photo up on the news, and I was sitting there, and I just started to cry, and I said, oh, God, I'm still hiding behind the broken relationship right now, and there's my picture, and it just hit me that I needed to get out of the relationship I was in. And that I knew better than to stay where I was at. And so I just really moved ahead and I finished the end of the book and I filed for divorce. And believe me, all hell broke loose. And I said, really, God, am I going to do this again? And I find ground and I'm still standing. I'm still not divorced. It's ugly. But I still finished the book. And this is just a beautiful testimony of how you can triumph in the worst of times. Because when you read the end of the book and what I was going through when I finished this, you'll see just how strong you become when you have God inside of you and all the heavens and the angels fighting for you. And you'll see why I filed a lawsuit against the devil.
The great thing is I've been able to watch you. I've witnessed, for our audience, first I want to also say thank you so much for being such a blessing for our Sunday shows, because I've come to you for accountability to make sure that we're going in the right path as far as everything that we're preaching and everything that we're not, and that's really important. But it's amazing to watch over the past, 12, 13, 14, 15 months, because when did you finish the book?
I finished the book in August.
Okay, so I've kind of witnessed everything that you've been going through, and I'm just in awe sitting here watching. And it's so many people have asked me to write a book, and it's like, nope, I'm here to elevate and empower other people. And it's funny, as I'm sitting here listening to you, because you know Rebecca, who's one of our sponsors, and
yes.
And Rebecca, and you know Magdalena, who is also a host and who is the vice president of Four Ministries. We all three of us, have the same kind of story that you have, which is we all grew up Catholic, okay, and we all wanted to be nuns. Is that the crazy thing?
Yes.
And we all wanted to be nuns. Rebecca went to Liberty University, so she has such a ministry testimony and background. And Magdalena, as you know, she is our main disciple leader, and she truly has a gift. So I want you, if you have a Bible in front of you, I want you to open it up, and I want you to read Hebrews 12:22. If you don't, we'll pull it up on the internet. And I want you to read it.
I'll grab it.
Okay? Because this truly, truly is, I don't believe in any coincidences, as you know. And we're all getting ready to, as 2013 comes into play, we're all getting ready to really start talking about things that we have been prepared to talk about. So I want you to read Hebrews 12:22, because that truly is the foundation of what Soul Sister Radio is based on, truly on the Sunday show in particular, because that's more of our church show. But now that our venues are opening up to, you know, everything, we're going to do whatever we want, whenever we want, because I can. Okay. So I want you to read Hebrews 12:22.
But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels.
Mm-hmm. Who come in joyful assembly is the where my translation shares.
Yeah, general that's assembly in the next verse I have.
Yeah, we come in joyful assembly, and that's truly, I want you to be able to take your thought, your dream, because your testimony, my testimony, Magdalena's testimony, Rebecca's testimony, Becky up in Washington, who does our praise and worship on Sundays, and Becky in Atlanta. Isn't it funny that God blessed me with four Rebeccas and a Magdalena? Okay. Okay. I mean, really, Susie, you have to stop and look at it. It's Maria, Magdalena, four Rebeccas, a Susie, and we all wanted to grow up, become nuns, and I think the only one who's married, well, Becky and Rebecca.
are the only two that are married. All of us are single. So, and we're all really focused. So I want you to be able to take this platform, because it really, I'm going, the next song I'm going to play is Becky's opening to her song on Sunday mornings. And this is what I'm feeling, because you truly are a soul sister, and the tools that you have, that God has given you and that has told you, if they have an ear, let them hear. I know that the time for us to do it is now. And I'm going to share a little bit more about why that's even more important as we move forward with Soul Sister Radio and what we've started under this platform, because being free is really important right now, especially when we want to talk about whatever we want to talk about when it comes to the Bible, especially the book of Revelations. So I'm going to play the next song, because, my friend, the shackles are off and you are ready. And when we come back, the shackles are off. You are ready. And I am excited to be able to launch your show as it's created, as we're birthing it and trying to figure out what we're going to make it out to be. I'm blessed to be able to produce it for you. Rebecca is blessed to be able to sponsor it. We also have B&B Builders, who is doing everything in his power to make sure that we can continue doing this so we can produce shows like yours. So we just want to send out special blessings for them, and Spa Gems, our wonderful sponsor. But when we come back, I want you to share with our audience a little bit of why it is that you think God has given you the passion to really take this to the next level. Because one of the things that Rebecca says is, you know, we come into this life with nothing and we leave with nothing but the legacy we leave behind. So I want you to share with our audience what you believe your legacy is, especially to your grandchildren. And we will come right back after we listen to a station identification and take these shackles off, and we will be right back.
Absolutely.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
ForRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. This is Becky Ryan with Women on the Edge. We're about to enjoy some warm talks as it gets cold, cold, cold out there. And I am here with Maria DiGiovanni, and I am so happy to welcome you into the new year. Maria, are you around?
I am, and welcome, welcome. I know you've been really, really busy, and this new year has brought you a whole bunch of new things going on, expected and some unexpected. And so welcome to 2014, because I know this is all about our team in 2014.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to bring up something in John 7:37, and usually we're not the Bible ones. I don't tend to quote, but I just thought, in the last days, God said, I will pour my spirit out onto the people. And boy, I hope that spirit comes with, like, a warm coat.
Yeah, you guys, you know what? I feel really bad for the whole world except for where I live. I mean, it seems like the rest of the country is, I don't know how you guys function in snow. We can't function in, well, you know, you lived in California. We don't function in a drizzle, okay? Can you imagine if we, I would never go anywhere if I had to go in snow. Shovel snow? Oh, no. I couldn't even think about shoveling snow. So I guess I'm really, really spoiled. I'm a spoiled person.
Well, you guys have been having some strange weather this past year, though, and, like, extra heat and drought and stuff, but it's, for some reason, snow really bothers me. And I was talking to my husband about it, and I said, you know what, if we were in Israel, they did not have snow. So God's people are not supposed to put up with this. We have yet to have snow. I'm complaining as if it was. However, 2 days ago, we were colder than Anchorage, Alaska, and Iceland. And Chicago was colder than the South Pole.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Okay, so the audience needs to know, you're in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm on Atlanta, Georgia, and I am in Southern California. So my weather's ridiculously beautiful. I mean, it's 51 degrees and it's cold.
Well, the only thing and I was going to bring this up and about, like, the Northern Lights, and I'm going to go into something else because during this week, I don't know if you're aware of it, but San Francisco has been issued iodine tablets because of the hurricane, tsunami, and earthquake that had hit Japan in 2011, and now the radiation has hit San Francisco.
Yeah, so have they finally done the test? I think I posted something because I knew that this was going to be an issue. I was just waiting to see how long, you know, somebody was going to take to really stop and think about what that, you know, tsunami did to that radiation, to those, you know, and we've got right here, I'm less than 5 miles away from the nuclear power plant here. So
there's an interesting movie on Netflix called Megaquake, and it's all about what had happened in Japan. I don't exactly know what we can do. If you do have a nuclear plant, usually for the folks that are, like, in Pennsylvania, they've gone and told them that they're supposed to keep certain things in the house at all times. They're required if they live so close. However, in theory, if the nuclear plant goes down, the people that are in that close proximity are already down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the one here has been shut down it's been inactive. It's not really shut down. Just because they're inactive doesn't mean they're shut down. I don't think they can ever really shut them down, can they?
And that was part of what Japan's problem was. They had to keep them cool, and even if they were shut down, and the nuclear plants, each one of them only had 8 hours to be manually generated.
Yeah.
So people had to go in like firemen, and our heroes, those firemen, went in there fearlessly to cool them manually.
Yeah, but here's the deal, really. What did it really say? Because look at what's happening. We really shouldn't eat any fish off of the Pacific coast anymore. Anymore. Okay?
They also ended up getting a whale down in Mexico that actually is a Siamese. So it had two heads and two tails. It was only 7 feet long. I think it was expected to be 12 feet long had it been born. And I apologize. I don't know what type of a whale it was. But they're talking about, could this be because of the radiation? And are we in for more because of Fujiyama, nuclear plant in Japan going down? I bet there's a whole bunch more to go down. There's another point to this. We have to think of the Ring of Fire, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Ring of Fire is what do we have in San Francisco? The fault line. It's the fault line that goes around the whole entire Pacific, and it even includes New Zealand.
It's the San Andreas.
It's called the Ring of Fire.
Oh, okay.
And that includes all of them. When you say San Andreas, you're only talking about your area.
Right, okay.
And this Ring of Fire has been going off for the past couple years. I don't know if anybody should be trying some of the fish out of the Atlantic or the Pacific. And the Pacific has been, you know, all of the radiation from Fujiyama. But we also have problems with the Atlantic for all of the hurricanes hitting the UK. We might call it tsunami, but when it's on the Atlantic, it's hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been having one storm after another on both sides, and yes, we have to be more cautious about where we're getting our all of our food from. And right now, who'd want anything out of San Francisco? They've been walking around.
Yeah.
Think about the wine. The bottled wine should still be fine, right?
Wow. You know what? Here's the thing, you know. You've got to think of how much of it is soaking into everything. I mean, anyway, it's a disaster. There's nothing we can do about it. We have imploded. The earth is imploding. And these are the choices that we've made as you know, the human race, okay? They're not the only ones that have nuclear power. We've got nuclear power. How many other countries have nuclear power? We've chosen this as a human race, knowing what could possibly go wrong, and it did.
Well, Japan is equal to Chernobyl's, which was in Russia, and the land is still deemed unsafe and inhabitable, what I'm trying to say.
Yes, but it's contained. Because this is water-based, it's not contained, you see? And that's the difference here.
You can't still live anywhere over in Russia in these places. So, I'm a little bit more worried. Yeah, it took 2 years to hit San Francisco, but it took like 5 hours before they could feel the waves. So, I expect that it's going to continue going across unless the Rockies, for some reason, can keep it at bay. What will the effects be? Simi Valley had issues with radiation. We had the Aaron Brockovich, who was going out all over, was it San Bernardino? And the radiation levels were up high because they buried it in containers.
Yep.
Cancer hotspot, so people are going to have to be looking at this and really considering where you're going to be living. They were saying that there's 1,400% radiation hotspots in San Francisco Beach. That's scary. We don't want to be at 100%. We want to be as close to zero as possible. 1,400%.
Yeah, this is not okay. All of it is not okay. And here's the thing, is they're not going to be able to contain it to the Pacific Ocean. It's still pouring out. So it's going it's going to go completely into the waterways of the earth. There's no way to contain it. There's nowhere they can't contain it.
Well, the only thing we keep saying, this reminds me now, and I really do promise my listeners, I'm not the person to be going biblical, but I do believe that in Revelation, it says one-fourth of the people are going to die from something man-made. This kind of could be something man-made.
Yeah, this is a huge, something that could be handmade, man-made. This is a big one. You know, we screwed up as a human race with this, and we all have to be accountable for it. Who said yes to nuclear power? I don't know, but it's a good question. We should know as history, you know. I should know that answer. We live in this country. We should know. But as a human race, we made
Sadly,
that.
I'd say the U.S. did when we bombed Japan.
Could have been.
With the atom bombs, and started getting into all of this.
Yeah, we contained it, though, then. We didn't put it in the ocean. We didn't put it in the water. This was flowing into the water and is. And it's not like oil. Like when they contain the oil, it's not like, you know, oil and water. This mixes
and
with water.
Interesting
so.
About oil, even if a tanker does go down, and granted, wildlife will die, the ocean itself has a natural filtering system for oil. Every single day there's oil leaking into the ocean from the ocean bottom floor. And I thought this was really interesting that they said, well, the only problem is that we don't, you know, we're causing the livelihood when a ship goes down. But every day we have oil spills going off naturally. And the ocean will eventually clean it up. Yes, there could be deaths to fish and livelihood and reduction, but it will eventually clean it up because it's natural to natural. It's when it's unnatural.
Yep.
Is what you're talking about. We have unnatural to unnatural. It isn't that we can run down there with sponges and clean
nope.
up the ducks.
Can't do it. Not with this one. It's the same type of thing. You know, I learned a lot about this working in aerospace, and it's the same type of that, you know, aerospace leaves behind, unfortunately. And they had to dig up the entire, you know, land off of Jamboree and the 405 when they eliminated the Parker Hannifin aerospace plant we had there. They dug up feet upon feet upon feet of soil and dug it out of there. Right there off the 405 in Jamboree.
But they cleaned it up.
But they cleaned it up.
It was much smaller. This is mass.
Yes, exactly. This is why I understand the components. We're in trouble here. And I don't understand why they're not speaking about it. And here we are, a woman on the edge on 4 Radio, a soul sister enterprise. We're going to open our mouths about it because somebody needs to talk about it. And no, I don't know what I'm talking about it, but we got to figure it out.
We've got to be bold enough to go and say that we need to go and clean this up, and we need to care about our fellow sisters, our children, our husbands, our parents.
The problem is there is
some way, shape, or form that you are linked to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Six degrees away. I have many, personally, I know, in San Francisco. But for
those of you
that might be listening that don't,
I've got a whole family. I've got tons of family up in San Francisco. The Bay Area was where I grew up. My mother's, you know, a quarter of my mother's side of the family, and my mother had 8, 9 brothers and sisters. So, you know, 9 brothers and sisters. That's a lot of family up there.
Yes. And I want to continue with this, but like you said, we don't know much about it. But listen, women who are out there, listen, soul sister, men and women, young and old, near and far, be bold about this. This is something that's going to affect the globe. For our vegetarians, they might be screaming that this is great. It affects our plants.
Everything.
It affects everything.
people need to understand how the ocean affects everything on the land. Everything on the land. And we're right now, we need to pay attention to this.
And I wanted to go and move into some other trends while we're going into this. Paula Abdul, speaking of cancer, I mean, speaking of radiation, if anybody out there is getting some of the winter blues and thinking maybe, you know, let's go get some tanning booth, Paula Abdul came out and it's right now just started on TMZ that she had a very bad, tanning bed experience, skin, everything. You're not going to want to, you're going to want to go to the site to hear about the nastiness that Paula Abdul had. But to be honest, I'm like thinking, this does seem like a nice retreat if you were to hit a tanning bed. I just don't have patience for tanning beds.
Neither do I. Do I. And me being who I am, I mean, I can lay out for 10 minutes and get what I can get in a tanning bed in 2 hours, so... It's just my skin.
And
so
me
I
being who I am, have to self-color.
Yeah, me being that Hispanic, Italian, green, olive skin.
Nice.
Crazy.
My dad had it. He just never passed it on to me.
Do you
He'd
burn?
Go outside, literally, and be brown. I don't really burn. I turn a little bit red, and I still kind of stay pasty white. So it takes several hours. Time going out, and I will get lots of freckles. I was a freckle
kid.
Will
you?
Yeah. And I kind of like them now as I'm getting older. You know, I was like, oh, wow, look how cute they are. And here we were in Georgia doing a lot. And in Southern California, I think I used more sun protection, but I ended up coming out here, and I ended up getting some freckles. And people ended up commenting, oh, wow, you should get them removed. You know, that's like melanoma and everything else. And I was like, oh, and I thought I looked younger. So freckles, I guess, are a no-no.
A no-no.
But it's going to be kind of nice as we're going into the winter blues. And tonight, the aurora borealis, the northern lights, are going to be seen by Canada, by the majority of the United States, but not by Southern California or the southern states.
So
it's one of the... Yes. So we get to go and check Facebook for some really cool photos. How come we don't get to see the Northern Lights? I've never seen them. Have you?
No. I want to see them. We're going to have to tell Becky up in Washington that the Northern Lights are on. Maybe she's listening. So.
Well, if she is listening, there's over 50,000 articles that were written in the last 3 hours.
Really?
So apparently it's trending. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's going to be some great photos. The only other thing that was trending, and we're going to go back on a bad note or a funny note or a horrible note, the Obama divorce. Have you heard about it?
No. Oh, are you kidding me? Is it a joke?
Okay, well, here's the funny part. They believe that it's an exaggeration, but let's lay some foundation. He had gone down to Hawaii for Christmas, and he's our first president not to attend church. During the
right.
holidays, he played golf instead. So they were pushing that, usually quite positively. But I think that for the people who believe that he's probably Muslim, they thought this proved it. No, Muslims have to go and pray 3 times a day or 6 times a day. It proves that maybe he doesn't have a source if he's going to go golfing with his guys, and he doesn't feel that his guys should go to church. But... they're supposed to be down there for a couple weeks, and Michelle Obama decided to stay for her 50th birthday in Hawaii. So Obama ended up again playing with his 2 daughters who need to go to school, and he said that's her birthday present. With that said, the rumor speculated that they hadn't been seen a lot in Hawaii, and for her not to be on the plane going back is kind of a big shocker to many of the journalists who do follow the president. So I can see why they're writing about it. However, if I had been working as much as Michelle Obama, I think I'd want even a couple days off.
Right. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about it, and I'm going, and you're leaving me in Hawaii? Let me think about this. Yes, go.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
because they're saying that their books, Michelle Obama, even the daughters, are booked solid 8 hours a day for
right.
6 to 8 months,
oh, yeah.
plus other events. So I was thinking, if you really are, and they said there is no weekend off. I mean, even when they,
oh, no.
the presidents did go to church, they were being filmed.
Yeah, no time off.
Or when all the other presidents had gone to church. I don't know if Obama's have been seen at church.
I don't know.
So anyway, they said that it's an exaggeration. However, it did get first reported by the Inquirer, but they did go and say the reporter on this and people who had brought it up actually announced quite a few other things that ended up being true. They're saying that they feel that it's an exaggeration. Why wouldn't somebody want 2 weeks off? The problem is it's her 50th birthday.
Okay.
Would you want your 50th birthday away from everybody?
No, that's kind of weird too, right?
That one is always weird.
Wouldn't you have like a 50th birthday party or something? I mean, I guess not. I mean, again, who are we to say? Who are we to say?
Yeah, we're not to say, but I was just thinking, you know, everybody now knows it's her 50th. It isn't that she's going to go and get depressed about it. I thought 40 was yucky.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like being 48. I don't even like being 49. I'd rather be 50 right now. So I'd just rather skip. I'll just say that I'm 50 because I look great at 50.
And if there's anybody out there about to celebrate a 50th birthday or need to come up with a cool idea, we had gone around to Hobby Lobby going through Christmas items. And as we went up, this lady's buying all these socks. They're S-U-X socks, suckers. And they're like, they look like homemade lollipops. And you can get them even out in California, anywhere. They just look like homemade lollipops that somebody made and put a clear wrapper around them. And a lady was taking 50 lollipops, and she was going to say 50 sucks on the banner, poking them. And I thought, that's a really smart thing. So you could also do it for 30 sucks or 40 sucks. Or 40 is a blessing. I don't know how we can go and say it because, you know what, thank God we are here to continue doing our work. Thank God we've lost people on our way. And even over the holidays, we had lost some people that our listeners might even be grieving. I am sorry that we've lost people, and we should be happy to celebrate our birthdays. But if we can have fun, I thought the lollipop idea and say 50 sucks or 40 sucks or whatever it was, I thought that was kind of a cute, inexpensive idea.
That really is. Hey, did you hear? Okay, I'm going to throw it out there. Okay, I'm single. Why not have a date with George Clooney? Did you hear about the charity that came up with the most fabulous fundraiser? A date with George Clooney.
Did you go ahead and do it?
No, not yet.
I did like it.
It's amazing. What a great idea. Win a date with George Clooney for only $10. Do you know how much money this nonprofit is going to make? And God bless them. They're taking care of the children in the Sudan, and that's really close to his heart, so he's really, really happy about it. And I just think it's great because, you know, I will pay $10. I think I'll buy one chance. Okay, but I don't think I'll pay more than that.
Let God take it over from there. And for all my listeners out there, pray for this to happen because I've been wanting Maria to find somebody very special, and they'd have to be. Maria has a very high standard.
Yeah, I do.
And she has a sense when you're not there. So
yeah, exactly.
Make sure you're kind of humble.
You know,
there is a test. It's a test. But not it's a test on honor. And do they say what they mean, and do they do what they say?
Yeah.
And are they there? And I see that in you. And listen, if we make a promise or a commitment, do you live by it?
Mm-hmm.
So Maria does have high standards. And she's an amazing woman, so let's look out for her for this 2014. I mean, think about it. It's 14. It's like Valentine's Day 2014.
I know.
We have a real special 2014.
I think it's a great idea. All I know is that, oh, here, I'm trying to find the right, our Guardian program has the greatest thing about it. So let me find it right now so I can read to you what it says. And it's pretty amazing, and I love how God just kind of brings everything together. And it is only, hold on, I can't see, hold on. Nope, I can't do it. Never mind, we'll have to talk about it later. It's only the brave are eligible, only the wise are worthy, and if you have courage. Yeah, only, and it's true. Well, you've got to be strong to be with a woman who loves God more than life, so you beat that one, buddy. You have
the
one
singles
minute.
That are out there, all of the dating sites, all of the advertisements are going to start being in full swing. It was funny. I had gone into my email today, and Plenty of Fish, who's an online dating site, congratulated me because of how many people were interested in me and that they had selected a few of the best one for this week. You know, and it isn't come back. Maria, I haven't been on Plenty of Fish for years, and I am married, and I was even afraid to open it up because some of them are automatically linked, that if the picture pulls up, it says that you just viewed them. So I didn't even open it up. I didn't want to get in trouble. I'm very happily married, but I just thought, oh, wow, maybe we could go and do something on the dating sites because right now you guys are prime targets until February 14th. And because of the number one breakup time is Christmas.
Is it really? That's the number one engagement time, too. Anyway, you have 30 seconds, and then we have a special tonight, Becky, that I'm really excited to produce. And we are going to be producing Tammy's show that she does and that her father produces. And it's called Girlfriends, so you're going to listen to it right after your show. So why don't you end this,
awesome.
Tell everybody where they can reach you, and I just, again, want to thank Tammy Arnhem for being a music sponsor and now a complete Four International Soul Sister Enterprise sponsor, and it's a great partnership, so I'm really excited about it. So close out your show, woman, and we'll go into Girlfriends with Tammy Arnhem.
I am very, very excited, all my soul sisters. We are going to be listening to Tammy next, and you can catch me on Facebook at Women on the Edge or at Twitter at WebMoxie. And we'll see you all live next Thursday, and take it over, Maria, and let's listen to Tammy. Congratulations, Tammy. Welcome aboard.
ForRadio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. I'm Stan Rowe, the executive producer, and alongside is Sandra Wilkinson, floor director. We invite you tonight to grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the next 45 minutes of some friendship. Our sponsor, the Cruzy Brothers Ministries International. We'll be recording live tonight from South Everett Community Church in Everett, Washington at Girlfriends. All girls, all ages, and all joy. Now, I'll step out as you listen to your host, author, pageant winner, and life coach, Tammy, beauty consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and Girlfriends co-host, Tammy Saltz.
Good evening, girlfriends.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Cruzy Sister International Internet Radio Show. We are so happy to be back. 2014, and it is wonderful that you have joined us wherever you're at, whatever time zone you're at. We want to welcome you. If you're ever in our area, we're at South Everett Community Church, 1 West Casino Road. Can you make sure we have a Facebook invitation going on? You can just press it there. That'd be great. We are talking about how we were made to crave. So let's open in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this time We thank you for all these women in our live audience. We just pray that you would be with all of our hearts tonight. We pray that you would reach every individual that's listening, whether it would be by their phone, by their radio, by however they're listening, whatever time they're listening, Lord, that this is the time that's set aside for them to hear what we're going to say today. We thank you, God, that you're a good God. You just want what is best for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about Made to Crave, and we are excited to bring a couple different looks at craving food, craving things emotionally, craving things spiritually, and we're going to be off to a good start tonight. Debbie, what do you have for us? Debbie's our image consultant. She also owns a spa in Marysville, Washington.
Well, I have a book called Craving God, a devotional for real women, so which I think that we definitely qualify for that. So this is what it says. American humorist Irma Bombeck once said, I come from a family where gravy is considered a beverage. Coming from the South, I can identify. Southern food culture taught me this. If I love you, I will feed you a lot. And where did I often pile the most love on my plate? The church covered dish luncheon in the fellowship hall. Nowhere else could I get fried chicken fried steak, and sawmill gravy, sour cream mashed potatoes with a side of spaghetti and meatballs. Then, of course, I had to taste at least three of the different pies and then chug it down with some sweet tea. Boy, did I make the cook happy to see my plate piled high. We called it sharing the love. So began my perception that food equals love. But like any unfaithful lover, food cannot love back. Overeating made me feel defeated and incapable. That is until my ever-expanding waistline and dismay caused me to direct my heart elsewhere. As I began searching the scripture, I discovered how God can point our hearts to him. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And I found some beautiful truths that helped me to redirect my heart every day. Number one, God's love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Number two, nothing can separate us from God's love, Romans 8:39. Not even 20, 50, or 100, or 200 pounds or more. Nothing will separate you from God's love. Number three, love is patient, 1 Corinthians 13:4. And number four, God's love is not based on our performance, Romans 5:8. We may fall off the path, but God's love has never been dependent on our actions, proven by the fact that he has sent his son. Yes, we are only one good choice away from being back on the path, but no matter how far off the path or how long we're on it, God is patient with us and loves us dearly. This reminds me of a touching story shared by my friend Karen, who lost over 100 pounds in the first stage of her journey towards health. Her friend Tammy saw her before picture and was so excited and really encouraged her, and then her little son Spencer came in. And she showed the before picture to her son, Spencer, and she says, wow, your mom really has lost weight. Look at how different she looks in the before picture. And the little boy kind of looked puzzled, looked at his mother, looked at the before picture, looked at his mother, and he said, she's just mama to me.
Aww.
So we are loved as God's special girls. No matter where you are in your struggle with healthy eating, God looks at you and said, she still looks like my precious daughter to me. And he loves you just the way you are. But God loves you so too much to leave you stuck in a state of defeat. And you were made for so much more, and you were made for victory.
Awesome. Good. So just like as Debbie had said, that God accepts us the way we are. And we're going to be talking about some healthy food choices in the next few weeks. And I think you're going to get a lot out of it. You can get more out of it if you would like to purchase a book on Amazon.com called Made to Crave. You can get anywhere between $6 and $12. You can even get an e-book. Also, there's madetocrave.com, and it'll send you daily devotionals. It's great. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. I've asked Tammy just to kind of talk a little bit about what she's going to talk about. It'll mostly be once we're off the air because you don't have access to the materials as we do in this room and our live audience. So Tammy Salt, welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, we're going to talk about the many years that we've all, or most of us women, have stood in front of the mirror and bawled, or refused to stand in front of the mirror. refuse to, I personally refuse to try on clothes at a department store because it will ruin my day, because, of course, the size I am when I go in that store is not the size I am when I come out. I can make all the excuses I want once I try them on 10 days later. We're going to be talking about how many times we have prayed and begged and pleaded and made bargains with anybody to make sure that this diet worked, how many diets we've been on. The whole point of this journey is to realize that we're going to create the bridge between our mind and our spiritual, and that's going to help us actually succeed this time. Dieting all the time is just as bad as hating your body, as hating your nose, your thighs, whatever it is. We're going to teach you how to – we're not going to say the same thing that you already know, portion size, exercise. We're going to teach you how to want to succeed.
Good. That's going to be some good stuff. I want to let you know, too, and I shared with Deborah, who's in the room, my friend, and a few other people, that I want to make sure as we go through this, no matter what size you are on the scale, we are not going to see you any different, and especially I don't. I think women need to know that other women are so consumed with themselves that they really don't judge other women as much as what we think they do. You know, if you can walk in the room and say, well, don't think much of her because no one else except for her, you're telling the truth. Women are very self-absorbed, unfortunately. We know, you know, in psychology that when a man walks in the room, his eyes go to the most beautiful woman. And when a woman walks in the room, her eyes go to the most beautiful woman. Because we have a tendency to look for beauty, and women can find beauty in other women that men do not see. It's just we do that. I mean, I remember our friend Layla. We've always said, she will say, oh, Melody, oh, I know her. She's got the most beautiful eyes in the world. And it's like, really? Well, I know her. Oh, Angela, she has the nicest, most beautiful temperament you've ever. And she'll find things from people that we're like going, really? Because she looks for beauty in people. And so we're going to ask you to look for beauty in yourself. I want to tell you how much I don't notice things. Two true stories happened in the same week. I went into the jewelry store in Linwood where I was getting my ring cleaned. And the man, I go in every couple of years to have it. It has to be reevaluated and stuff for insurance. Anyway, I went in and I was feverishly trying to take off my ring that never comes off, right? And I was, you know, he was putting Windex and everything on it. Now he's getting real close to me trying to get this on. And I look up and I thought, this older gentleman has really nice hair. You know, and I've been really trying, if there's something good to say about somebody, to say it. So I said to him, your hair looks really good today. Thank you. He turned bright red. And so I see him every 2 years, and I have for 14 years. And I said, looks different, though. You must have done something. Yes. And he was a little bit irritated at me, and I thought, well, I hope I didn't really offend him, you know. So he walked over and helped somebody else, and as he's helping him, he turns back around, and I thought, looks really thick and nice. I mean, really nice hair. So he comes back over to me, and I think he thought that I was becoming a stalker because I said, even the color looks different than I remember. I will tell you about it later, he said. So this other couple walks out. He looks around, and he says, I was waiting until everybody was gone. And I said, oh, really? Do you have any product or something? And I thought, you know, because the guy looked kind of like one of those guys that's kind of into himself a little bit. He dresses real nice and stuff. And he says, what do you remember about me last time? And I said, I don't know. And he says, I am completely bald. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. He says, I have had hair implants. And he said, I had my hair in a long ponytail just in the back, and then I had it cut. And I went, so anyway, that's how much I really don't notice details on people. I went to my espresso stand that I hadn't been to in a while in Kingston. I walked in. I saw the same lady that I had seen for many years before, but it had been a few years. And I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I said, you look great. What's different about you? She says, I've lost 147 pounds.
Oh,
sorry. So please never think that we judge you because half the time we don't even see it, okay? Especially me. Have you ever had an issue in your life, and I know we all have had one, where you've come to the family of God and they've really been there for you?
When you really feel that there's been something wrong or been something really horrible that's happened, maybe a divorce, maybe a death, maybe a miscarriage, and you have come to the church and they've been there for you, or people in the church have been there for you. We've seen people come to the church that have had problems and then we haven't seen them again until they have another problem. We've seen that before. Or in my case, when I went through my divorce, I remember Mary was there for me. Mary was, I walked down an aisle and it was just such a horrible day and she reached over and she put me on her lap. And I don't think I'd ever sat on another woman's lap since I was a cheerleader, which was just for weird stuff we did. And she set me on her lap and she said, "We're going to be here for you. It's going to be okay." And I was like, I will never forget that because she was so sincere. I went down and I answered the altar call, and I had done altar call counseling for years. Somebody came up behind me and said, "Hey, can you go pray with her today?" And I said, "I'm here for myself." And I got on my knees and I started to cry and pray at that altar. And all of a sudden I felt an arm around me. It was Helen Hussey. And she came down next to me and said, "You don't know how much trouble I am in. I am in so much financial. I'm $42,000 in debt. I don't know what I'm going to do." And she says, "We're going to pray for you and we're going to be here for you." And it felt so good. It felt like she gave me a check for $42,000. Wish she would have. But but she was very sincere that she was going to be there for me. I went to my counselor's house. My sister and I prayed with these people. And I remember the counselor's wife, Sandy, who might be listening tonight, put her hands on my hands. And she said, "God, I pray that she feels the family of God." And, you know, it was the first time that I had ever received the family of God, because I'd always given to but never taken from. And I thought, I really like this feeling of somebody being there for me. So now I want you to think of that time that you were at the church and you were accepted and you really felt like God's family helped you through. And I want to tell you, as a friend, that this issue of eating wrong, of making wrong choices all the way to not being obsessed with food or too much or not enough, is also a problem that you're not going to be alone with, that we're going to be here for each other with. Not a judgmental spirit. When I was talking to Deborah on email about it, I said, I don't want people to feel judged, but to know that this is a situation where we can come together and we can say, we're not going to be alone here. We're not going to be alone. If I could take you and put you on my lap right now and say, you know what, we're going to get through this together. We're going to find out what our cravings are, and we're going to find out how we can meet them with God. This past 13 days, I've been on a Daniel fast. Now, one thing I've learned about fasting, and Lisa and I looked at this before, and we're like, it's really hard to fast, because how can you fast when you're supposed to be praying or Bible reading during the food time? Well, we really went through and looked at the Daniel fast, and I highly recommend this, the Daniel fast diet. But it is a fast, but it's a fast of limited food, but not all food. It's no meat, no sweets, no alcohol, and no dairy. Well, the alcohol was easy because I don't drink. I didn't really miss dairy. The meat I started to miss. And the sweets, I really could do without. I have not had sugar for over 2 weeks.
I could do without meat forever.
Yeah, and see, it just depends. But I discovered one thing, that when I quit eating meat, I got really depressed. And I don't think it had to do with what I was missing. It had to do with when I quit eating meat before. When I was married before, I was a vegetarian for 4 years. But I was so unhappily married that it brought back all these emotions. It brought back all these feelings, and I told Debbie, I said, I think that's the problem. So when I started getting a craving for something that was outside of what my dietary limits were, I started saying, God, I thank you. I thank you that I'm no longer in bondage. I thank you that I'm no longer a slave to food, but I'm a servant to being a body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what's the difference between a slave and a servant?
A slave is
in bondage. A servant serves and decides to serve. It is up to me to do this. Nobody's going to put food in my mouth but myself. And I'm going to make a conscious decision not to do this. I stopped at Hobby Lobby, and I highly recommend Hobby Lobby. Great Christian company, and they're holding out on their rights for everything they believe in. Great company. We love you, Hobby Lobby. I stopped by there to get some our little note things tonight. And on the way out, and I have not had sugar in a couple weeks, I saw M&Ms. I have never craved M&Ms in my life. And I went by and I thought, I should grab myself some M&Ms. I went to grab M&Ms and I realized, wait a minute, I can't do that because I'm paying with girlfriend's money tonight. I don't have any money on me, so I'm not going to do that, you know. So I gave him the girlfriend's money and got these little note cards that I handed to you guys. And I left and I thought, why didn't I just do that? Because it wasn't my money. And I thought, you know what? When we go to eat, we need to realize this body is not my own. This is God's body. This is on his dime. Why do I want to take care of my body? I want to think that anybody in this room, I think most of you have been pregnant or bore a child. When you're pregnant, you eat a little bit different because you have another person inside of you. We act a little different when we have a person inside of us. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in Christ in our hearts. So how do we treat our body with him in our lives? The same type of respect that I had for a child in my body, I should have for Christ in my life. And I'm not saying you're never going to have dessert the rest of your life. I'm saying by not taking and craving something so bad that I will not give it up, craving something so bad. And, you know, I found that coffee was like that for me. So I started doing a half shot of regular and then decaf, and now just decaf. And I'm okay. I'm okay on that. And you know what? I can have one coffee a day that's a decaf cup of coffee, and I'm okay. And 2 weeks ago, I was having one mocha plus something else in the afternoon. I feel better. I was weak to start with. I feel better. But I need to know what the balance is and what I'm going to allow myself to do and what I'm not going to allow myself. Like Tammy said, not living on a diet. I've lost 7 pounds, which I wasn't really doing it for losing weight, but I got regular food in my body to keep my body going on the Daniel fast. Let me tell you something. You are capable of overcoming overeating. You are capable of overcoming undereating, and you are capable of overcoming poor eating. And I don't care if you're the most healthy person in the world. If you're in this room, there's always something we can do a little bit better, whether it's just get up and walk. I used to like what Richard Simmons used to say. You grew it, you lift it. Invest in yourself. Invest in your health. Invest in your future for yourself. Invest in your family. Saddest thing. I was asked to speak at a women's retreat next month, and I was talking to the women's director. And she said, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Didn't call me back. Called me back like 5-6 hours later. She says, I'm so sorry. My neighbor just dropped dead, 38 years old, due to health issues because of obesity. 38 years old. Left 5 children. So sad. She says, I was so sad to see that little 10-year-old boy sitting there crying at the foot of his mom's bed. And I just said, wow. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see my kids get older and be able to say, I want to do this for my children, for my grandchildren that I don't know. So what I want you to do, and Debbie's got everybody these little journals. We're going to pass these around. They're small enough to keep in your purse. And I just want to start where I would at life coaching for you guys, for you gals and you guys. Journal when you eat and what you eat. Journal when you eat and what you eat. Is there a certain time that you eat every day? Do something different. When you wake up in the morning, don't think, I need, because you know what? You really don't. Don't think, I need. Change it up a little bit. We are to consume food, not food to consume us. We're not talking about a diet. We're talking about what kind of cravings can you not get rid of, and I will tell you that God, through the power of Jesus Christ, will allow you to not have that overcome you. You can overcome it. Motto, and I love this. This is my dad's motto. No Bible, no breakfast. A fasting myth. You have to pray and read the Bible instead of eating at the regular mealtime. And this is what I thought. This is what Lisa and I both thought. The fact is, fasting actually means going without food. The Daniel fast is no meat, no sugar, no alcohol, no dairy. Daniel fasted and said, I will not defile my own body. And the man that was feeding Daniel during the lion's den days, you can read this in his book, actually said, they're going to think that something's wrong with us. They're going to know that we're not eating meat because we're going to be really, really weak. And it said that he went for 10 days, and the people that ate just the vegetables and the fruit were actually stronger than the ones that ate the meat. Whole grains, pasta, nuts, lots of water, vegetables, and fruit. On the Crave God website, there's a 21-day challenge. This is all free. And on the Daniel Fast website, there's a 21-day challenge. So I really challenge you to find something that's better than what you're doing. If you don't need to lose weight, if you feel fine where you're at or whatever, there's always a time we need to come closer to God. There's always a time we do. So whatever cravings you have, when that craving comes up, pick up your Bible. When that craving comes up, let's learn to go to the throne and not to the phone, right? And us as women, we tend to go to the phone. Whether it's to look up something, to call somebody, to text something, go to the throne instead of the phone. And this is one thing I want to write down and put on my mirror. Go to the throne and not the phone. Anything you two girls want to add?
No.
Anything else on there? Did you look up anything on craving? You're going to do that next week.
Next week.
We're going to talk about if you crave something, how can you fulfill that craving without something bad? Mm-hmm. I know with me, I like crunchy. And craving for me is a crunchy sound. I love the crunchy sound. Pick up potato chips or something and crave that crunchy sound. Debbie's going to talk about what can you do when you crave that. What can you do when you crave sugar? What can you do when you crave salt? That kind of stuff. So good stuff. Any other questions or comments? We have about two more minutes. Yeah.
What was it we do again? Sorry.
Write down what you eat and when you eat. So you can look down. And this is what I recommend for people that, you know, come into my office or call me or we have life coaching with that have just a horrible problem that's happening right now. Is this the first time it's ever happened? No. When does it happen? I want you to, you know, put it on your calendar when you feel this way. And a lot of times with women, it's an emotional, you know, type of issue that we have that men don't face. But it'll be right there, and it'll say, you know, every second or third week, I probably shouldn't have a real close conversation with my sister because I get mad at her easier that week. I probably shouldn't, you know, spend a lot of quality time with my husband during that time because I'm going to be a jerk, you know, and be able to know that, hey, this is me during this time. I think that's it. We can go ahead and run that last, and we want to say goodbye to our radio audience.
So we have run out of airtime for the Cruzy Sisters program tonight, so we will have to say goodbye for now. But please tune in next week at the same time or listen to one of our archive programs. The Cruzy Sister is sponsored by Cruzy Brothers World Outreach. You can find them on cruzybrothers.org for materials and singing albums, along with Tammy's auto books. Please call 1-800-800-6121. Until next week, this is Sandra Wilkinson, floor director, here for Girlfriends Group at South Everett Community Church, just north of Seattle. Good day.
ForRadio.com. Now a message from our sponsor, EducateEtiquette.com. Have you ever been at a table with a group of people and there is one person being rude on their cell phone? Have you mentioned it to that person and they still do it as if they just don't care as much for those around them in the flesh as they do for their own personal thread on Facebook? It's even worse when you're around our older generation who really have a hard time understanding how people can form relationships this way. There is wisdom in their thinking, so please don't be rude. Put it away in respect. Yourself, most of all. Thank you for joining us on Soul Sister Enterprise, and please visit us at www.educateetiquette.com.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com, and For International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.